And the first time I read Hal Lindsey's book, and he brought the Antichrist out of the north, and had a completely different scenario from what Daniel claimed and others, I realized that I'd probably learn better in my era of my ways by what I was taught by old country preachers. But to my chagrin, I discovered that everybody in seminary was first of the weaker. And I said, wait a minute, I'm going to have to work on this. And when I came up here, I waited a long time. But I finally started, I just preached Micah. It is so plain and so obvious that that's the one reason that Missionary Baptist preachers stopped teaching it. Because it just completely refutiates it. And they brought the Antichrist out of Europe, out of the European common market. And they said as soon as there got to be 10, the Antichrist would quickly arise in Europe. I laughed. You're not supposed to laugh at the devil, I guess, but I laughed. Because that wasn't true. And I knew it wasn't true. And so what happened naturally was that I kept my mouth shut until I felt that I could teach that and not hurt the church, what I'd been taught as a boy. And then when I started going out in the field to those different churches, I didn't even mention the rapture for a long time because I knew I couldn't get away with that. I saw how much change there had been since I was young. Back then, Missionary Baptists were pretty well stuck on the Word, and they wouldn't preach something if it refuted another scripture. And I think that's why they quit teaching Micah, the 5th chapter. So then, afterwards, I started preaching it. Y'all took to it like a duck takes to water. You loved it. Well, that's the same way I was when I was young. I loved it because they just went line by line, word for word, verse by verse. And then I discovered some other things in Hal Lindsey's book that he was teaching about the rapture. And I just decided to wait on that. And then finally, toward the end of the time I was doing those lectures, starting in about 1992, I just started telling people out there. So I said, I know y'all are sitting out there right now and you believe in the first of the week. But I said, you're wrong. And I said, I am not going to answer to the Lord for not at least having told you. So from then on, I preached it. Well, a lot of people liked it. And so they kept having me till I had a heart attack. And some of the things that some of the people said to me, it's no wonder I had a heart attack. Now, when I first started talking about when the rapture was going to be and what it was going to be like at the first, I looked at Daniel chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2. Daniel 11, verses 1 and 2. And I looked at that and I said, now wait a minute here. I said, I've got to correlate that with 2 Thessalonians. And I went over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and down to verse 4. And I said, good Lord, how am I going to correlate that? And I tried, and I thought, no, I'd be fudging. And I'd be preaching something I believed but wasn't certain of. So I just started at the time that Israel would attack the Antichrist, and he'd launch a counterattack. I knew what was going to happen up until that time. You said, you couldn't have. I did. And it has happened exactly like the Bible said. Period. No exceptions. So that's the reason I started this thing. First war attacked. That's still in the future. And I believe it's going to occur. In the last year of the administration that follows Obama. You say, do you know that? Yeah, I do. But the truth is, I could be wrong. But I just didn't want to even talk about it until I could really pin it down and say, this is it. Now, Kenneth the other night was talking about a sign, you know, one of these kings. The Lord said he'd give him a sign. The king told him he wasn't interested, you know. Well, to me, this was a sign in the Bible. When Israel attacked Syria, I knew that's when this was referring to in Daniel. And after that, I studied and studied and studied. I did the very best. I didn't fudge. I said, until I understand this thing and I'm sure of it, I'm not even going to teach it. So I finally got around and I said, okay, that's it. So what I'll do, I'll just put the first war attack. That'll be Israel attacked. And the rest of it, I'm sure of. You say, well, you could be wrong. I know, but I'm sure of. I'm not the guy that has 88 reasons why Jesus is going to come in 1988. I'm not a nut. I called John Penn about him and I said, what is wrong with that guy? He said, well, I had him in my class. And he said, he's a psychotic. And he was sending me notes and pictures and stuff all the time, and it's the craziest stuff I ever heard in my life. I never told you about him. But finally, he just shut down because he could see he wasn't going to have any effect on me. Now, what do I expect to happen? I do not expect the prophecy of Daniel 11, 40, 42 to be fulfilled soon. Well, I wonder when that started. Let's go back on the back sheet of that first one. I have always taught Israel would attack Lebanon. I mean, I taught that since Hector was a pup. Then the Assyrian Antichrist would counterattack. I was positive of it. But I had to reconcile that with 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Hard to do. The Assyrian Antichrist would have counterattacked Israel and drive her into the Negev wilderness, where Israel will be surrounded by water, the Mediterranean, and Islam's horns, immediately surrounding them. She'll be completely surrounded. She won't be conquered. For some 1,260 days until Jesus' second advent. I know I've taught this before, but I want us to be keyed in on that so you can watch and see if I die. Because I believe it's going to happen, and I feel strongly enough to say, well, I just feel an unction to tell you this now. The king of the north is Syria, and the king of the south is Israel. When the kingdom of Alexander the Great was divided into four sections, one of them was Thrace, the other was Greece, the other was the kingdom of the Seleucids. Seleucid himself was the king over that division. That was a huge division. It ran all the way from the Mediterranean Sea up around where Lebanon, where Syria is, all the way down across the Middle East, all the way across Syria, all the way across Babylon, that's Iraq, Babylon's the capital, all the way across Iran, all the way across Kazakhstan, all the way across Afghanistan. And so I knew that that would happen. And so I knew a caliphate would form, and I told you that long years ago. Some preacher said, what's a caliphate? There's two different ways to pronounce it. I like caliphate better, but there's another way to pronounce it. I knew that that was going to happen. And I knew when Israel attacked the last 1,335 days of what we call the tribulation period would begin. And that when it began, it would go all the way to the second advent. Now, the second advent is not the rapture. It's the very end of the tribulation period. The Battle of Armageddon ends it. You say, well, Brother McElmurray, you sounded like you're absolutely certain of it. I am. You say, well, any details you need to work out? I've worked out enough of them that I've got the general pattern, and I'm going to tell you what's going to happen ahead of time. You can't fox out Benjamin Netanyahu. That's all I'm going to say. But I know this by personal contact with him. And you're not going to fool him with what's happening now. And I was so tickled the other night when he got up and said, he said, we're not going to fall for this stuff. And he won't. Now, as soon as this wonderful agreement that they made with a bunch of thieves, thugs, killers, brutal people, beheaders of Christians, as soon as he gets settled in a little bit more and they work out a better arrangement, Bashar Assad is going to be replaced. He may be assassinated. He may be shot by his own people. But he is not going to be the ruler a whole lot longer. Now, that wonderful peace agreement they've got over there, I tell you what they're going to do. They're cunning. The Persians are known for their cunning. Books have been written about it. They're going to maintain a sort of peaceful thing in the Middle East. Right now they're chopping off everybody's head, the ISIS. And I don't really think that the Antichrist himself will be the ruler of ISIS, of the caliphate. But I think that somebody else in his group is going to assassinate him. And they're going to have a man who is known as the Assyrian in Micah. I'm telling you, he's the Antichrist. I can prove it. He is. Now, once he arises there, he's not a fool. Constantly, we're told he's not a fool. We're told he doesn't like women. And people say, well, that means he's a homosexual. It could be. It could be. Did you ever read Sharia law? I have. Read the whole Quran. You want to know somebody that hates women? How about the Islamic faith? They treat them like dogs. He has no respect for women whatsoever. That's a fact. And we're not going to interfere because we don't want to disturb their culture. Now, who's going to win the next election? It doesn't make any difference. I hope it's a conservative who is a Republican. But my record at picking presidents and who's going to get elected is not worth listening to because it's based on my own human wisdom and I stink at doing it. But I believe that the Republicans will win the next election. And they're not going to go to war right away. Because this new fellow that comes in there after they get rid of Bashar Assad. Bashar Assad is a saint. But he's not very smart. Neither is the Ayatollah Khomeini. Neither was a Mahajad. But this guy's going to be smart. And he's going to have a little agreement that they've already signed, and they're going to make it into something where everybody over there except Israel is going to be saying, peace, peace, peace. And the Israelis themselves, by that time, will have a large contingents of people that are, they're liberal. Poor old Benjamin Netanyahu, I've been a fan of his for years. And so he won't be sucked in. And I think he'll stay in office long enough that when they start, people over there start saying, peace, peace, peace. And I'm talking about the Israelis here. And I'm talking about the United States. And I'm talking about all those Arab nations. Peace, peace, peace. But unbeknownst to those people, there will be a consolidation of a confederation. That's what Kenneth was talking about last night, a confederation. Who will it consist of? Well, it'll be 10 toes. I guarantee you that French Morocco will be in it. It's not French Morocco anymore. It was when they were having war over there. I was over there then. And now it's just Morocco, I guarantee you. And there were people that wrote me letters and says there's no way that that can be true. I just based it on the Bible and the time I spent over there. And they're just as fanatical as the rest of them. They're just a little bit more civilized. And the next one is Algeria. Been there too. Done that. Know the Algerian people. Been up on Mount Ephraim. I was over there when the guys in our outfit over there were going over there and buying Arab women and using them and getting them hired in the place we went to get some stuff. Every once in a while they'd bring in by ship. And I wouldn't let them come in our place. I said, get out of here. Because I had enough rank then. I was in charge of the place I was in. At that time, I was the chief observer, and I was working on pie balls and doing intelligence work, and I said, get out of here. But I never told my wife that. Matter of fact, you're the first ones I ever told. And the truth of the matter is, I know those people. I've eaten with them. To be courteous, then went home and threw up or stuck my finger down my throat. And then after Algeria, there's good old Libya. That's going to be a confederation. And it's going to be a confederation that is on the side of the Northern Confederation, which will consist of Lebanon. I'm a little hesitant on this one, but I believe it. Turkey. Then Iraq. Syria itself. And Iran. Those will be the original 10. Kazakhstan and Uzbekistan will join them later. I know you've heard about all these people try to tell you when the Lord's coming. I guess I've become one of them, but I sure haven't told you when he's coming. I've just told you that when you see Israel attack them, you got about 1,335 days left. And I don't know if those 1,335 days are based on Hebrew, the time that they had on their calendar, on our calendar. I don't know. The Roman calendar, I don't know. So I can't tell you the day, the week, the month, and the year, but listen. If you think I'm sitting here telling you this because I want to impress you, God knows I haven't impressed anybody, and I've gotten more flack than you'll ever know about. And the truth of the matter is, I'm not trying to make you feel sorry about me, but this is about to happen. I expect it to happen during the next administration that follows Obama. He gets out of office officially on February of 2017. Then they have the elections the year, you know, the months before that. But he's officially gone in February. And I think you can add about 4 more years on that, and I think that you can say he's coming at the end of that time, in that general time span. That's why I'm still here preaching at Dardanelle. I would like to just, we could live on what I make. But I don't know if I could put on so much weight. But this is what I'm supposed to do, and I'm doing it. Now, At the time of the end shall the king of the south, Israel, that was the kingdom of Ptolemy. Ptolemy, the Ptolemaic kingdom, the kingdom of Seleucid, he was the other. The other two were Thrace and Greece. And those were the ones and incidentally, in the 8th chapter of Daniel, that is not the Antichrist. That is not the Antichrist. You say, well, I've been taught that. I'm sorry, but you're wrong. It's not the Antichrist. And I can make a legitimate case to prove to you it's not the Antichrist. It's Antiochus Epiphanes. It's already been fulfilled. You say, well, how do you know that? Because I went to school to study Chaldee and Hebrew. And that's why I know it. It might amaze you to know. Now, I want you to listen very carefully to this, because I'm emphatic about this. Do you know that before 1740, you will not find one book or one preacher or any group that believed in Daniel 9:27, those three he's were the Antichrist, because they all believed it was Antiochus Epiphanes in the 8th chapter, or Jesus Christ, and the vast majority believed it was Jesus Christ. You say, well, why have they never told me that before? A lack of guts when they discovered it, are wanting to keep their job, are not having other preachers in the work criticize them? Listen, this is a serious thing that they've done. And all I can do is just tell you about it. Some of them just did the best they could, and I don't blame them. And they taught that was the Antichrist. And there have been so many who have taught it since 1832 that's not much I can do about it. Now, the prophetic diagrams I've prepared in the past always begin at the point in time of Daniel's counterattack. I did that because beforehand I was not sure precisely how this was all going to shift around there at the last part. I knew Bashar had to be changed. He's not the Antichrist. I knew that whoever came in after him was the Antichrist, or maybe the one that came in after him was the Antichrist, or got assassinated and the man that had placed him was the Antichrist. So what am I going to tell you? If I tell you that, you say, well, that's not much confidence, is it? Well, if I just tell you from the time I know it's going to be right to the end, I won't have to worry about that. But now I'm telling you, because I think it's time. I forecast it occurs near the end of the next administration. And I've been telling you that for some time. Now I begin an archive block of September the 28th, 2007. The king of the south is not likely to attack soon. Listen, Israel has attacked Lebanon time and time again. They've attacked them 6 times. And yet every time I told people, the king of the south is not likely to attack soon. It would have been a wonderful opportunity for me to say, look, I'm going to expose to you what the truth is. No. There are other things that had to happen that couldn't happen. So I just kept my mouth shut, because it was very important to me that somebody realize this and pass it on to other people, because I couldn't get a lot of missionary Baptist preachers that agreed with me to even teach their people. Every one of them got crucified just about. The king of the South is not likely to attack soon. I put that out in 2007, and they were saying he was going to attack in 2008, and sure he did. But I said, he's not likely to attack soon. And I went on to tell him the prediction of Ahmad Jarrell. He was a Lebanese in the north. He was on our side concerning an immediate Israeli attack against Jerusalem, against Syria, and the Jerusalem Post is interesting, but very unlikely to occur as soon as he implies. I would love to see Ahmad Jarrell's prediction of Israel attacking Syria very soon come true. If that were to be the case, Israel would definitely win the war. That's another reason. I knew they wouldn't attack, because I knew what kind of weaponry they had. I was over there when they transported a lot of it over there. And the stuff they were sending over there, I kept up with intelligence sources, and I knew what they were sending over there. I knew how many armies there were. I knew what the number was. I knew the number type of weapons they had. I knew it couldn't happen. So I sat there 5 or 6 times and just told people, no, this is not the time. I watched them ship all that stuff over there, and finally when they got enough over there, I said, okay, next time. Well, we're in the next time. We're not in never, never anymore. We're in the next time. They got enough over there to whip Israel, to beat them. You say, not if God's with them. Well, God didn't say he was going to be with them. He said they were going to go through a minor holocaust. They're going to be slaughtered. They're going to be killed. They're going to be driven to the Negev. Is anything I have said out of context with anything else I've said? No, it's not. You interpret Scripture by context. Israel would definitely win the ensuing war. However, that is what I expect to happen. I do not expect the prophecy of Daniel 11:40-42 to be fulfilled soon. And when it finally is fulfilled, the initial push of the king of the south, Israel, will be met by a planned counterattack from the king of the north, Syria, which will drive Israel into the Negev wilderness, where she will remain for some 3.5 years. Do you remember when I told you, when I showed you what they did after this war in 2008, which I said, it's a long way off. Remember what I showed you? I kept up with what they did. That was a stalemate. And I said, now I don't have to wonder about the next time. And I knew the next time they were going to get whooped. I watched what they did, and the Lebanese, who were controlled by the Syrians, they moved their defense forces back behind the Ekat Mountain. The Ekat Mountain goes up like this and down like this. It's east-west. And what you need to do to get a tank, they usually put a lot of armor on their front. It's when they come up, and I worked with tank forces up there, and you know, Pitch was a tank commander, and you go up on this side of the mountain, and you have your little American tank sitting down here. Do you remember those German? I remember that my uncle was, they used to wait for him to go over the mountain. My dad, anyway, I won't go into all that. Anyway. When the tanks come up and they start to go over the top of the mountain and they go up like this, the tank doesn't go like that. It goes straight up in the air and then it falls over on the other side. And if you can hit it underneath, you've killed everybody in it. And they got they've got those tank guns now where, man, listen, they're going to whip the tar out of Israel. Israel's going to be defeated badly. And it's going to be a mad rush down to the Negev wilderness to get that coastal section evacuated, where 70% of the Israeli population is along the western coast of Israel, and to get on the other side, where it's between the mountains go down like this, and these are the central mountains, and it goes down like this, and they're going to be charging down that side on both sides, the enemy. This is a beautiful, listen, they taught us this. not what I'm saying precisely, what at that particular location, but they taught us about war. It's not as good as a war college the officers have, but ours was a good one. He says, at the time, Israel will be met by a Japan counterattack. Okay. Next time I'm going to give you a map of that area, and I'll detail what this puts out. But I want to get through with this one section, and then I'll start on the next section next time we come back to next Wednesday. At the time of the end shall the king of the south, Israel, push him. The king of the north, Syria, shall come against like a whirlwind with chariots and horsemen and with many ships. I know preacher says, well, you know, chariots and stuff like that. I say, man, if God had put in there and named all the technical military equipment that they have over there now, they would have thrown Daniel out on his backside in the sand. I mean, think about it. Sometimes we don't give God credit for having a sense of a soda cracker. He shall also enter into the glorious land, definitely Israel, and many countries shall be overthrown. Lord have mercy, which ones? How about Egypt? How about Saudi Arabia? How about Jordan? You know who's going to end up down there with the Israelis and the Negev? I wish I was old enough to go over there. That's a good place to die. But I'm not. And I wish I was. I love those people. Don't ask me why. Well, my great-great-grandfather was an Israeli. But I love them. But these shall escape out of his hand, even Edom and Moab and the chief of the children of Ammon. That is absolutely the place occupied by Jordan today. He will surround Egypt. She will be captive. How do I know that? Because the word that used about overrunning Jordan is a word that means they will escape. And a different word is used for Egypt. They will be surrounded. And that's exactly what's going to happen. Now, I've been sitting and watching this happen for the last 50 years, especially the last 30 years. And during the last 10 years, you talk about impatient. Man, I feel like Simeon, you know. Come on, Lord, come on. Because I'm watching this happen over there right now. And I'm not telling you this to impress you. Lord, this doesn't impress anybody. Because so few believe it. Now, here's what I'm hoping for. I don't know what's going to happen here. But here's what I'm hoping for. This material has been passed around people all over this association. And believe it or not, there are a few people in this association that believe me. That believe. There are a few people in the association that actually believe. I'm hoping all these people that laughed at it and didn't believe it, and I'm not being vindictive, I hope they'll get their backsides into church. And I hope they get back into this church or any other church that teaches what's happening and can explain it to them, because what are these people that are teaching them the first of the week? How are they going to explain what's happening to them? I have compassion for people. And the compassion I have is a sort of a mechanical one, because I'm a military man. I was trained that way. I was trained to take orders. I would try to obey orders. And the only ways I'd disobey orders is if I saw a bunch of troops were going to be killed if I didn't do something. And it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein. See that word therein? What do you think of that word? I'm not being hard on you. Do you know that there are still preachers who criticize me and call me and say, well, that doesn't mean they're going to be left in the Negev. The Negev is part of Israel. They're in. Two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein. In Israel. You say, well, yeah, that means Jerusalem. No, it means the Negev. Every bit of this is inspired. Every single word. And God said, try me. And I said within myself, okay, Lord. Okay. I tried him. He's never been wrong. Never. Never will be. I've built up that much confidence in him. Revelation 12 and 6. And the woman fled into the wilderness. That's the Negev wilderness. Where she hath a place prepared of God. It's prepared of God. That they should feed her there 1,260 days. Do you think that the Antichrist is going to be a fool? Once he gets Israel surrounded in the Negev, just the water there, and they're down in the Negev, and they got an open boundary on the Red Sea, and they got an open boundary over on the Gulf of Aqaba. Now, you say, well, where'd you get? I'm a military man. I'm a graduate oh, good Lord. Boy, I'm getting old and old and old and old. MacBay. Military school. I went down there and we studied tactics. We studied war. We studied stuff like Patton studied and other generals. They had better schools. But these old boys that were down there, we were just an old boy, MacBay. And they taught us the same thing, but they taught us at our level. We just weren't up there to be able to understand what the officers do. I wasn't jealous. I wish I could have gone to that military school that was by the officers. The important thing about this prophecy has never been when it would be fulfilled, but knowing it would be fulfilled, living one day at a time with a heart committed to Him. I love that song. One day at a time, sweet Jesus. One day at a time. I can't keep a tune. But anyway, I love it. Because that's what that means. One day at a time as a believer with a heart committed to serving Him. I started guesstimating the time of the attack that would start the last 3.5 years of this present day of the Gentiles many years ago. But only because so many people asked me about it. You know why God had me ask me about it? Because that's what He trained me for. It has always been a guess, no more and no less. I have tried since 1971 to fight day by day against the evil in my flesh and the world by its power in seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. If I'm still doing it on the day that this prophecy is fulfilled, the morrow of the prophecy will have taken thought for the things of itself. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. That's what this church is all about. Jesus is the head of it. He's the foundation of it. He's the shepherd of it. He's the king of it. He's the God of it. And I love coming down here. And I love being among you all. And if you can't enjoy going to church, then what's the sense in going down there and being miserable? You want to dismiss us, Ken?